Turn to two or three people. Tell them how glad you are to see them here this morning at Word of Life Church. Amen. We certainly are glad to see you here, glad to have you here, and want to invite you to open up your Bibles with us to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 17. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, we'd love to give you one. You can lift up your hand now, and there are men in the aisle or ushers who will be glad to hand you out a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news, now you do. That one is yours to keep. You can open up those Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. While you're turning, I want to make mention of two things that we have coming up. Both of them are for the men of Word of Life. You know, there are a lot of things that the staff often will ask me to announce during a service. But they didn't have to ask me to announce this because it's something that really is on my heart. A couple of months ago, I guess in October of last year, I was in prayer and just praying about some different things. And the Lord really began to deal with me to start a men's ministry here for Word of Life Church. And so it kind of told me different formats to do it. And one of the things that we offer is coming up soon. It's at the end of March. I believe it's March 24th, which is on a Saturday. It's our Mighty Men meeting. Now, what Mighty Men is designed to do is to take men and help them be mightier. I think the tagline is get stronger. And that's exactly what we're aiming to do through that. You'll come and have an opportunity to meet other men who are growing in their relationship with the Lord. Hear praise and worship, all done by the men of Word of Life Church. Other men leading them into worshiping the man, Christ Jesus. And then after that, I'm going to get up and teach. And whenever we do the Mighty Men events, I plan on always teaching unless the Lord leads us to do a different way. And I want to teach out of the book of Proverbs. Years ago, my father passed away when I was 17. And there would be times in my life where I always was wishing that I would have guidance from a father. You know, just a father in the natural to come alongside my life, come alongside me and give me wisdom and instruction for every arena of my life. And I was reading Proverbs one day, and I saw all throughout it were the words, my son, my son, my son. And the more I read it, the more I saw how there's obviously wisdom that can help anybody, regardless of gender. But specifically for men, God instructed the writers there to write directly to men. And he covers issues directly relating to men. And so I want to encourage you, if you are a man, come out to it. I'm going to teach out of the book of Proverbs. And then at the end of that, we'll have a meal, just like we did last time. And it's open to all men of Word of Life. It's open to any man anywhere, so long as they sign up. The event is free. We're not charging anything for it. Free food. I'm not taking any salary from it. We're not taking up any offerings. It's just free. We want to be a blessing to not just the men of Word of Life, but any man who wants to come. And so I want to invite you to come out to that. I know it will be a blessing to you if you can make it out there. I think it starts at 10, will last probably to 11:30, so it's not taking all day. But we want to encourage you, if you can come, come. We'll do those, the Mighty Men events, every other month. So I have one in March, and then we'll do another one in May, and we'll keep them consistent like that. The other thing I want to make mention of is another thing for men. It's called Power Up. And in that same prayer time, the Lord dealt with me to put on something for Christian businessmen. Oftentimes, whether people own their own business or are looking to succeed in their career, there's so much pressure from the world to do business the world's way. And so Power Up is for Christian businessmen, where you can come, whether you own your own business or whether you don't, whether you're unemployed or whether you're just looking to grow in your career, you can come and I will interview a Christian businessman, someone who is doing things God's way, and talk about how Christ has not only impacted his life, but also impacted his business. We've already had two wonderful times. Our next one is coming up. It's always the first Monday of every month. So our next one's coming up real quick here. So it'll be the first Monday in March. It's from 7 to 8, and we meet over there at Table 100 at their conference center. I'm thrilled about this upcoming one. I'm interviewing a local lawyer here who is actually, before that, he played one season for the Baltimore Ravens, and before that, he was a star defensive lineman for Ole Miss. His name is Jesse Mitchell, and he's a member of our church here. And so I'm excited about that. I took him out to lunch the other day just to talk and fellowship. And man, I came away with so many nuggets. So I know you will too if you can come to it. And so we're excited about that. If you can come, that event is $8. If we were holding it on church grounds, I'd make it free. But because it's over there, you know, you have to pay for food and people there to cook the food and all that other kind of stuff. But all the money that you're spending is going directly towards Table 100 for putting on that conference. So we want to invite you to come. That's the first Monday of every month from 7 to 8. And then the Mighty Men will be every other month, and they'll be on Saturdays. If you can come, come on. Now, if you are coming, you got to sign up so we can make room for you, especially for the free one. We don't want to have a whole bunch of people say they're coming and then not show up. And we have all this food that we paid for, and we have to, you know, waste it. So we don't want to be wasteful. So if you can sign up, great. We'd love to have you. Go out there at the end of service. Sign up for either one of those two things. We'd certainly love to see you there. We're looking in our Bibles this morning at Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. And this has kind of been on it a good bit to start off this year on Sunday mornings. And Jesus is talking here, and he says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, this is so awesome, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and you will say unto this mountain, notice it's your choice, you have to choose to say, unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing will be impossible unto you. Jesus said, if you have itty-bitty faith, I mean, you're just starting in your Christian walk, you've got itty-bitty faith, but you make a conscious decision to use the faith that you have, nothing will be impossible unto you. We said the reason why this works is not because we're so amazing, our faith is so amazing, although both are. It's because God is so amazing. And God has given us a tool to unleash His power on this earth, and that tool is called faith. If you're born again, everyone has already used faith. You used your faith to get born again, and God's power met your faith, saved your soul, recreated you in Christ. A miracle has already happened in your life. But God didn't intend for faith to just stop there. He intended for the just, those who have been made just in Christ, to live by faith. That in each and every area of your life, you're using your faith to see God move in that area, just like you use your faith to see God move in your salvation. How did you use your faith to see God save you? You believed in your heart and you did what? Spoke with your mouth, said with your mouth, confessed Him your Lord, released that belief in your life. Faith was in operation, and a miracle happened that day. You got born again. Well, God intends for you to live that way. You got a belief in your heart concerning what you want to see happen in this earth. But not only do you have that belief in your heart, you also have that belief in your mouth. You're speaking that belief out of your mouth. God meets you at your use of faith. So he said, what we're endeavoring to do is to get you to get me to use our faith. He said, we use faith for three areas. We talked about desires. Wasn't that a great message that Reverend Terry Law preached last week? Wonderful message about God being our Father. And we said, when it comes to the desires of our heart, God is like any other father. He wants the best for His children. He wants your joy to be full. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. And so we talked about how to use faith for desires. But we said we shouldn't stop there. We also need to know how to use our faith for needs. We said, and this is so important, you know, the message of faith has almost got a bad rap because sometimes when preachers preach it, it almost makes it seem as if you're a man or a woman of faith and you're a true man or woman of faith, that you'll never go through anything. And that's not the truth at all. We said that faith does not stop attacks from coming, but faith can stop the attacks from having no harm. We gave the instance of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, here they are. They got thrown in the fiery furnace. Their faith didn't stop them from going in the fiery furnace, but their faith did stop the fiery furnace from having any harm on them. He said, the same is true for you. In life, you will go through tests and trials, but that's just it with faith. You can go through them. You lift up the shield of faith, and none of the attacks of the enemy can have any type of progress. Why? You've got the shield of faith up. We talked about how to do that. But friends, I want to talk to you today about something that's near and dear to my heart. And it's something that it seems as if, I don't know why, but it seems as if that when this message of faith is taught, we only teach it for those first two things. And friend, I'm telling you, if there's anything that stops the kingdom of God from doing what God designed it to do in this earth, it is selfishness. If selfishness creeps into a church where the church gets so inside-minded, what God can do just for me, and if that's all it thinks about, that church will dry up every time. If your prayer life, if your faith life is just always so inside-minded of what God can just do for me, it's going to dry up every time. There's got to be an outlet. You know, you've often heard that the Dead Sea is dead because there's no outlet to it. And it's the same thing with your faith life. Yeah, use your faith for desires. Yeah, use your faith for needs, but please don't stop there. God's given you a tool that can literally change this earth. God's given you a tool that can tear out of the clutches of the enemy someone's life and set them into the kingdom of God. The tool that he's given you is faith. And I want to encourage you. I want to ask you a question. I've asked it to the other services. I want to ask it to you as well. You don't have to answer out loud. But I do want everyone in here to think about this with me this morning. Just kind of clear your mind from everything else. I know your stomach may be rumbling a little bit. It is the 11:30 service. Lunchtime is calling. Don't worry. We'll get you out of here still faster than some other churches. So you can beat the lines to the restaurant. Don't worry about that. We'll get you there. But let me ask you this, and really think about it with a clear mind. If all the prayers you prayed for last week came true this week, I mean, God said yes and manifested it. If all the prayers you prayed last week came true this week, what would be different in the world? How different would the world look? I told the other services, I think for most people, the only thing different in their world would be their food would be actually blessed. Maybe some single people finally get that man, but yeah, you know, a house or something like that, but what are we really using our faith for? What are we really praying about? And do we really believe that with faith and with the power of God, nothing is impossible? So my prayers, they could shake nations. My prayers could go into someone's life and eradicate disease from their body. That my prayers could thwart the attacks of the enemy and someone caught up into drugs and alcohol, that my prayers could make a change there. Do we really believe that nothing is impossible? I think for the majority of believers, even believers who are taught in the Word of God, they believe that prayer has earth-changing power, life-changing power. We believe in prayer, but it's almost as if we kind of designate within every church, designate within the body of Christ, well, it's these people over here who do the praying. You know, I'm a Christian, and I'm going to do as best I can, but it's these people over here that do the praying. I don't know, maybe I told second service, maybe you went to a prayer group, and it just seemed kind of weird to you. You know, you were holding hands, and on one hand, you had the kind of dead fish guy. You know what I'm talking about that? Their hands not moving at all, and it's just kind of like kind of wake up. And then on the other hand, you had the excited guy. I mean, who he's praying at the top of his lungs. But not only that, every time he gets excited, he's squeezing your hand more and more, and it's you want to pull away from it. Or maybe you came across the guy who wouldn't let go of the hand, and the prayer was over, and they said amen, but he was still holding your hand, and you're thinking, no, this is not right. Give me my hand. So maybe you went to something like that. And for whatever reason, you just thought, maybe this prayer thing isn't for me. But friends, the reason why we're leading with this scripture is because of what Jesus said. If you just got itty-bitty faith. I mean, maybe you don't, when you pray, you don't pray in King James English. You just talk to him like you would a father, which is really the best way to pray. A heartfelt prayer is the one that makes the difference. But you just talk to him, and it's so simple, and in your mind, it's too simple. But Jesus said, if you've just got itty-bitty faith and you use it, if you just use the faith that you have, nothing would be impossible to you. I want to encourage you today to allow the Lord to use you to pray for other people. To pray for nations of the earth. To pray for leaders and all who are in authority. I never will forget, I was reading through the epistles, what Paul wrote to the church, and looking at what Paul prayed for those people and looking what those people were praying for. And I noticed that 9 times out of 10, when they never prayed for themselves. They were praying for other people. That these people over here would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That these people over here, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of their calling. I got to looking at that and I said, I wonder how much of the body of Christ's prayers today mimic that. We've got to be less selfish with our prayers and allow the Lord to use us to establish his kingdom in other people's lives, in other nations. See, we're all different, every one of us, but that's the beauty of the body of Christ, is that there are things that touch your heart that you are to pray for that would never touch mine. And you live a different life, and that's how everything is designed by God to be prayed for and to get prayer for, is because we're all so different. Let me show you what I'm talking about in the book of Matthew chapter 9. You're in Matthew, so just go back a couple of chapters to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. On the screens, if you can pull up for me, Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 through 7 in the Amplified. Isaiah 62, verses 6 through 7 in the Amplified. We're going in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. In Matthew 9 and 35, it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Watch this in verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, let's read that again. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. This is a beautiful example on how to use your prayer for the kingdom of God and how to know when to do it. Here you see Jesus. He's just being Jesus. He's living his life and he's going around to every village, every city, teaching the gospel of the kingdom, preaching in their synagogues, healing all the sick and every disease from among the people. And in the process of him just living his life, in the process of just going through his ministry, he sees a group of people. And when he sees them, something touches his heart. Now, there were other disciples, people who followed him everywhere, and we don't know if they got the same touch. But when Jesus saw these people, something grabbed a hold of his heart and pulled on it. And he saw these people that they were getting tired and fainted because they didn't have any shepherds. They didn't have anyone teaching them the word of God. And when he saw it, his heart longed for it. And he knew that the job was too big for him to do in the natural. But he didn't just have compassion. He didn't just have feelings of sympathy for these people. He allowed his compassion to move him. In fact, what compassion means is love in action. That love is birthing an action in your life. And when he's moved with compassion, it moves him to action. And the action it moves him to is prayer. Friend, I want to encourage you as you live your life. I'm not talking about doing anything special. I'm just talking about you living your life. You pick up a morning paper that tens of thousands of other people are reading. But when you come across it, you see a story that touches your heart. Maybe it didn't touch other people. Maybe other people, including myself, maybe they just read right by it. But when you read that news report, it touched your heart. Maybe it was something very big on a world scale, like what's going on in Iran and in Israel. Or maybe it's something going on in politics, or maybe it's something going on in another country. But when you read it, it touched your heart. Or maybe it was about a person that you'll never meet before, but you're reading about how this person just lost a loved one because of murder or another crime, and something touched your heart. And hundreds of other people read it, and it didn't do anything to their heart, but to your heart, it touched you. When that happens, we're not just to have feelings of concern for what's going on in the Middle East. We're not just to have feelings of sympathy for that person who lost a loved one. It's to move us to action. The call is there to get us to move, and not to just move in our own natural strength or to sit back and say, what could I ever do there? I never met that person before. But to realize that you may never meet them. You may never do anything for them in the natural, but you did something much more importantly. In your heart, it let you move you over into a place of prayer. And in prayer, you put one hand on God, another hand on them, and you brought the two together. Job was a man who saw affliction in his life, who was hurting. So many different areas of his life, he was experiencing pain. In Job chapter 9, he said, what I need is a day's man, a mediator. One who could put one hand on me and another one on God and bring the two together. Friend, when you get that pull on your heart, it's not just to feel sympathy. It's to move you over into a place of prayer. We see an example of this. It really kind of illustrates it better than I could. In Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 6. He says, I've set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem. He's talking about a city there, and the city had walls built up all around it. Now, you can imagine if with the city of Flowood or with the city of Jackson or Brandon, if you built a wall all around the city, that would be a pretty big wall. And what they did to protect the city from harm is they would set watchmen on top of the walls who would watch particular areas. And if they saw something that they thought could be an attack against the people in Jerusalem, they would lift up their voice and alert the city to let them know an attack is coming. Now, the city is so big and the wall is so big that the watchmen couldn't watch every area. I mean, it'd be impossible for one man to patrol the whole area that the wall surrounded. So they would assign people to different places. And you watch this area, and then over here you watch that area. And if you see anything wrong in your line of sight, then you lift up your voice. And so, you know, it'd probably happen occasionally where an enemy would come and a guy sees and he lifts up his voice. But, you know, a couple of miles down, that guy didn't see that attack at all. It was because they were in two different places on the wall. But when the man saw the attack, it was his job to lift up his voice. He's not just giving a natural example here, but he's using that natural example to give us a spiritual truth. And he's saying that not only are we to do this in the natural, but we're to do this spiritually as well. I've set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, who will never hold their peace day or night. You who are his servants, and by your prayers, put the Lord in remembrance of his promises. Keep not silence, he goes on talking in verse 7. And give him, being God, no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her a praise in the earth. I love this scripture. He's talking about prayers. He's saying, be a watchman, that all of us are. I guarantee you, if you're born again, that means the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. That love is there if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And what that love is there for is not just give you goosebumps or to make you feel loved. That love is there so that when someone crosses your life that you should minister to, that love knows it. That love will pull on your heart and pull you to them. And when it does, it's because you're seeing it. You're a watchman and it's in your line of sight. There may be hundreds of other people that saw that coworker and didn't see anything, but when you saw her, your heart went out to her. They didn't know anything she was going through, but you knew you were there for such a time as this in her life. When that happens, friend, it's not enough to just sit back and have feelings for them. You gotta lift them up to God in prayer. You can't keep silent. You've got to lift them up to the Lord in prayer and say, Father, I thank you for so-and-so. And you keep praying for them until their life is a praise in the earth. Maybe a minister gets up and it's a missionary like Terry Law or someone else, and they start talking about a subject. There are thousands of people listening, but when they talk about trying to set a girl free from human trafficking and using resources and funds to do that, and where they're talking, it reaches your heart. And there are other people there who didn't get a touch at all, but you did. Why? You're a watchman on that wall. They didn't see it. They're on another wall. They're watching something else. But in your section of that wall, in your section of life, you saw the need. It moves you to prayer. And it moves you to grab a hold of them in prayer and to pray God into their life. You've all heard of the term for prayer, intercession. There's a word that's very similar to that in our English language, intersection. And an intersection on a road is when two roads come together. You have one road that's going straight and another one that may be coming that way. And it creates a four-lane stop or an intersection. And you're able to go in a different direction. See, when the road is just straight, you have no choice but to continue going on the road that you're going. But when that intersection happens, you have the opportunity to turn and go in a different direction. This is what prayer is all about. You see something going in a wrong direction. Maybe it's a nation, maybe it's an economy, maybe it's a person, a friend, a loved one, a neighbor, a child hooked on drugs. You see it going in a wrong direction and it touches your heart. It pulls on your heart. Some people, old school Pentecostals, would call it a burden to pray. And you pray and you lift that person, that corporation, that country, that politician up in prayer. What you're trying to do is to get an intersection to take place in their life. They're going one way, but you're going to give them an opportunity to turn and go an entire different direction. This happened in the life of Jesus. Jesus, he's just living his life once again. He's got someone who's real close to him, a good friend. Maybe you've got a friend who's real close to you. He's got a friend who's real close to him named Peter. And Jesus sees that Peter's life is headed in the wrong direction. He comes to Peter and he tells him, Satan desires to have you. He can sift you as wheat. And he told him how he was going to do it by trying to get Peter to deny the Lord Jesus. And he saw that Peter's life was headed in that direction. Maybe you've seen that happen too. Maybe a close friend, a cousin, a relative, a husband, a wife, a nation, whatever. You see it heading in a wrong direction. And you saw it. This wasn't a part of the wall that you didn't see. No, you saw it. It touched your heart. This is what happened to Jesus. He saw Peter's life headed in a direction that it shouldn't go. And Jesus didn't just warn Peter. He didn't just have sympathy for Peter or concern for Peter. So many people stop at just concern. I'm concerned about gas prices. I'm concerned about the economy. I'm concerned about so-and-so. Don't stop at concern. Go beyond concern and start using your prayer to change it. And Jesus, his concern for Peter, he says, Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And that's what he's desiring to do with anyone he can. He wants to sift them as wheat. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when, not if, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. Jesus saw Peter's life going in a different direction. Peter didn't even see it himself. And there may be some times in your life that you see that something's wrong, but the people who are involved in that situation don't think they are wrong. Peter was adamant, my life is heading in the right direction. I will never deny you. But Jesus saw it differently. When Peter should have been praying, he was sleeping, but Jesus covered him in prayer. Jesus prayed for him. And instead of Peter's life ending in misery, it started afresh and anew with him on the day of Pentecost, leading 3,000 people to Christ. All because Jesus saw a life headed in a wrong direction. But he didn't stop there. He made a decision to do something about it. He prayed. I know just about a week ago, I was in Disney World. We took our kids down there, had a great time and a wonderful vacation. And just so thankful to the Lord for being able to have times like that. And great time to go. The kids are 4 and 5, and so they're not in kindergarten yet. And so wasn't as crowded and all those things. But anyway, at the end of the trip, we were taking a taxi back to the airport to come home. And as soon as I got there, the taxi driver opened up the door and came out to help with the bags. And as soon as I saw him, my heart went out to him. And I knew that this was not just a taxi driver. Obviously, in Disney, you've seen hundreds and hundreds of other people that week. I didn't get it for anyone else but for him. As soon as I saw him before he said anything, my heart went out to him. We got in the car and my wife and kids sat in the back seat. I got in the passenger seat where I could talk to him directly. And I started talking to him. He was a man of Arabian descent. Man, you could just tell his life was in pain. He was talking about his job as a taxi driver and how for the last couple of years it just gotten real rough, that people, because of his skin color, how they were treating him. that people, you know, because of his Arabian descent, were give him a hard time, not pay him, be mean to him, question every way he was going. You know, you're not taking us the right way. You're just trying to take us longer to get our money, all of those types of things. And he said, you know, when I was single, I could handle that. You know, because you just know sometimes it's just people being people. He said, I'm a father now, and I've got two kids of my own. And he said, you know, I'm trying to make a life for my family. And he said, it's gotten to such a place where I'm having to work 16-hour days to just put food on the table. He said, I'm concerned that I'm going to walk in one day and my kids are going to ask my wife, who is this guy? Because they haven't seen him. Not because he doesn't love him, but because he's trying to pay for things. He said, I really want a job at the airport working for the rental cars there. He said, but every time I go in, they won't even let me go past the interview because of the color of my skin. He said, man, you could be the most qualified individual in the world, but if you don't meet the right people. He said, I'm really trying to get to a place like that where I can actually have a life with my family. And while he's talking, he's being sincere. And I see why God brought me to this man's cab. It was an intersection in his life. His life was headed one way. My job is to provide a new way. I'm not in his cab by accident. So we pull up to the airport. We're talking about many things while we're driving. But we pull up to the airport and we're getting the bags out of the trunk. I grabbed his hand and I wanted him to see that I blessed him. Your gift will make room for you. People think that that scripture is talking about a talent. It's not talking about a talent. It's talking about a gift. Your gift will open up. If you give to someone, it will open up the ability for you to speak into their life. Your gift will make room for you. That's why with young people, like with Sunnybrook, that's why it's so important that we put on the birthdays, because gifts will make room for the gospel of Jesus to reach their heart. So with him, I made sure that he saw that I blessed him, not for pride, but so I could have a door for the gospel to be opened. This is not just some preacher handing him a card saying, Jesus loves you and so do I, and here's a dollar tip. But no, he could really see the goodness of God. And so I blessed him, and he looked down, and he was so taken back and so grateful. I said, look, I said, I don't know what you believe. I said, I know God loves you. I said, I want you to know from here on out, I'm going to be praying for you that you get that job. I got his number. I said, I may call you periodically. Is that okay? He said, yeah, call me anytime. So I got his number, put it in my phone, and I'm going to call him periodically to check up on him. But it's not just my job to hear that story and be moved with compassion and then do nothing. It's my job as a believer that from here on out, when I bow my knees before my Heavenly Father, I don't just ask him to bless my kids because they're my kids, or ask him to bless my home because it's my home, or ask him to bless my church because it's my church, but I also lift up my taxi driver in Orlando and ask the God of heaven and earth to move in his life, to open up the eyes of his understanding, that he sees what is the hope of his calling, that he's rooted and grounded in love and is able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of God. He draws closer to God and closer to his family and kids and lives the life God created him for. Taking one hand on my Father God and one hand on that taxi driver I ran across and bringing the two together until the kingdom of God is established in that man's life. When I stand before God in heaven, I don't want him to say, I took this amazing tool you gave me called faith. I built me a great life, but I didn't use it for anyone else. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You kept not silence until these people that I brought across your life were a praise in the earth. Amen. I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Amen. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we come before you today. We love you, Lord. You're so amazing to us. Thank you for the opportunity to do what we do. Thank you for the opportunity you've given me to preach your